is the Son of the living God. And he tells them both that he loves Jesus and that he is pleased with Jesus. Now, I don't imagine this surprises too many of you. Unless this is your first time at church, and if it is, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Most of you, I would guess, it's no revelation to know that God the Father loves Jesus and was pleased with what he did here on earth. We know how close their relationship is. Jesus told us that he came from the Father, and that when he left earth, he was going back to the Father. He told us that anyone who had seen him had seen the Father. In the high priestly prayer, he asked God to glorify him and claimed, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." Now, we're going to get back to that accomplishing the work part, because that is a part of it. But I want to tell you first something that might be new to you. This proclamation from God the Father that he loves Jesus and is well pleased with him does not just tell us how he saw Jesus 2,000 years ago. It also tells us something about how he sees Jesus when we truly follow his Son. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he told them, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Paul even described us as adopted sons of God. He describes us as chosen. On Father's Day, that has a special meaning to me, because my dad chose to be my dad too. He adopted me after he married my mom. I took his name. Thank you. You know, there's some biblical truth in that story too. Dad and I didn't always get along as we do right now. We often had different priorities. You won't believe this, but when I was a teenager, I did not always do what he wanted me to do. That caused some friction because I was his. I had taken his name. I lived in his house. He provided for me. And I was supposed to do what he said because of that relationship. Now, this is a point where people kind of get the order mixed up, so I want to make sure the words I just said don't lead anybody down the wrong path. He chose me before I had any idea of ever doing something against his will. Much like Jesus died on the cross for you long before you ever even sinned, long before you were ever even conceived. My dad's choice to be my father wasn't contingent on me doing what he said. In the same way, Jesus has expectations of us if we say that we are his, if we truly want the blessings from our Holy Father that come from being adopted into his family, we are supposed to listen to his commands. Going back to the night before Jesus was betrayed, in the book of John, he told the disciples, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then a few verses later, he told us what that commandment is. "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. No greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." So let's pull this all together. Jesus glorified his Father, showed that he loved him, by doing what his Father commanded, by living in his will. He did that all the way to the cross, where he gave up his life for his friends. That included John and Peter, who were on the mountain when they heard these words from God the Father. But it also includes you and me. It includes everyone who loves him. He did this for those purposes that I read that Paul talked about, that we might also be his Father's children, that we might be partakers in his righteousness, that we might be clothed in Christ. Without Jesus, we have no way of making any of those things happen on our own. He made them possible by giving up his life for us, defeating sin and death along the way, and opening the door for a relationship between us and the creator of the universe. Isn't that amazing? Now, a few minutes ago, I told you that God's words, his affirmation that he was well pleased with Jesus, those words tell us something about our relationship with God. That's because we can know if we surrender to Jesus and let him be Lord of our lives, we can trust that God looks at us the same way. If we follow his commands and do his will, the evidence of our faith in him, we can trust that God looks down from heaven and loves us and is well pleased with us. Isn't that a blessing? Now, if we stopped right there, this would be a great message to take home. It'd also be the world's shortest sermon, which I'm sure some of the dads would be okay with. But there is more, and that's one of my favorite things about spending time studying the Bible. There's always more. There's always deep theological insight, yes. There's often real life applicability. Sometimes that application works different for different groups of people. Our God and his word are so perfect, they provide more than we could ever hope for. So the first group of people I want to talk to is the dads. It's your day, right? Actually, all parents, but it's Father's Day, so let's single out the dads. The words from God in today's passage are certainly remarkable and mean more because of the one who spoke them. Some of you probably remember we did a series called The Weight of Your Words, and I preached a sermon and talked about how the source of the words, the one who says them, determines the weight of the words. Well, the source here is the creator of all life. No weight, no words weigh more than his. But dads, your words have a tremendous weight with your kids. Don't forget that. No matter how bratty or disinterested your child may seem, no matter how little they seem to listen, your words carry immense weight. And if you can find a way to convey these words that God spoke to your children, if you can get them to truly hear them, I think you'll be amazed at their reaction. Have you told them they are beloved lately? Have you told them that you are well pleased with them? Maybe you'd like to use a different word. Maybe it's proud. Have you said, I'm proud of you lately? And I don't know which is harder for you guys. I know both can be difficult. For me, the love part is easier. That may have something to do with the fact that we use love so flippantly in today's world. We love steaks and coffee and just the quiet or the dolphins, all kinds of frivolous things. The Greeks had a lot of words for love. And if you've heard anything about those different words, you probably won't be surprised that the word Matthew uses here is agapatos, which is from the root word agape, which is often described as the highest form of love in the ancient Greek language Matthew wrote in. It's an unconditional type of love. Have you expressed that type of love to your kids lately? Well pleased feels different than love, right? We can give love for free, unconditionally, but they gotta earn well pleased. You can't just go throwing around well pleased when they're not acting right. They get the wrong idea, right? There's no participation trophies for well-pleased. Well, I'm not sure that's exactly right. Jesus certainly earned it. He deserved well-pleased. He did everything his Father commanded. He earned it for himself, and as we talked about earlier, he earned it for us too. Without Jesus, we could never earn a well-pleased from our Heavenly Father. There's too much muck that separates us, too much sin. He is perfect. We are not close. We could never live up to that standard, but we still get it. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. Jesus commands us to do his will. He commands us to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But doing those things is not what gets us the well-pleased from God the Father. Jesus already did that. Since we have been given the grace of being in relationship with our Holy Father, I'm not sure why we wouldn't give that to our kids as well. I think we should. I know we should. It's not easy, but if God's giving that to us, who are we to withhold it? He's the good Father who gives good gifts. As dads, we should want to be as much like him as possible. Now, finally, I've got a message for all of you who could relate to my story at the start of the sermon from the gift-giving perspective. Do you have a hard time figuring out what to give your dad? Have you already bought every mismatched sock and tie set that you can find? Does he already have everything? Are you fidgeting right now because you've got a Clint Eastwood box set wrapped up at home? I got you. There's no greater gift that you can give a father than for them to be able to call you beloved and tell you that they are well pleased with you. All dads want that. It's the perfect gift today and every other day of the year. We just talked about how you can do that in a heavenly sense, how you can do that to show that love. Give your life to Jesus entirely. Submit your will to his. Be clothed in Christ. Live in him. Now, does that work with your earthly father? Hopefully. If your dad loves Jesus, there's no better gift you can give than him than to walk with Jesus faithfully. If he doesn't, there's no better gift you can give to anybody than to show them Christ in your words and your deeds. A little secret, most dads don't wake up on Father's Day like a kid on Christmas, wondering what toy we're going to get. Some probably do. Most. Many of us, though, do wake up the other 364 days of the year and pray for their child's faith and happiness and success. Most of us would much rather you give us the gift of living the way you know God wants you to live than that one impossible thing that we haven't already bought for ourselves for some reason. In an even more earthly sense, I know we've got, like I said, some of the incoming sixth graders here. We've got a few of the teens. For the younger kids here today, you give your father the perfect gift by living in his will and doing his deeds as he intended. You won't be perfect. Nobody's asking for perfection. But just making that effort to give dad something he truly needs is the best gift you can give him. You know, kids, that most dads see their kids' faith or their kids' happiness or their kids' success as a reflection on how good of a job they did as a father. I'm not saying that's completely healthy, but it's usually the way that it works. Instead of giving dad a coffee mug or a t-shirt that says number one dad, how about living your life in a way that makes him feel like the number one dad? Since the beginning of time, kids have wanted to hear their dad say, "This is my beloved son or daughter, with whom I am well pleased," and mean it. And all dads long to say to their kids, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased," and mean it. In Matthew 17, we read of the perfect father saying this to his perfect son, and obviously he meant it. In that statement, we can know that those of us who love Jesus, who have been baptized into him, clothed by him, can hear, no matter what happens on this earth, can hear our Heavenly Father say to us, "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." I would love it if all the dads here today could say that same thing to their kids. And I know the dads would love it too. And if you don't get that here on earth, I want to remind you that you have a Father in heaven who loves you and is well pleased with you. Let's pray, and then we'll have the worship team come back up and sing us one more song before we leave. Father God, we thank you for being the perfect Father who provided a way for us to be in relationship with you, despite the fact that we didn't deserve it or earn it at all. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who went to the cross willingly and died for our sins. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us and empowers us to grow closer to you and to grow closer to doing the things that you would have us do. As we leave here today, as we go out into this week, Lord, help us to strive to do those things that Jesus commanded us. Help us to show those who look to us for love, the love that you give us. Lord, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.